Journalist Matt Taibbi has delved further than most into the debris left behind by the financial meltdown on Wall Street in 2008, and he's not shy about reporting what he's seen. Taibbi says the story of that Wall Street collapse is not over, despite reports in recent years that the money taxpayers shelled out to save the worst offender banks has been repaid. Matt Taibbi will be appearing with Senator Bernie Sanders for two forum discussions in Burlington Friday on this and other financial topics, and he joins us now on the line. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Matt, I want to start by reading this line that you wrote in a Rolling Stone article from the beginning of this year.
Okay.
Now, you were talking about the $700 billion taxpayer-funded bailout of Wall Street, and it's been lauded by those who authorized it for saving the country, they say, from a second Great Depression, and they say for the banks repaying every dime of that bailout money. But you write that those two assertions constitute, quote, one of the biggest and most elaborate falsehoods ever sold to the American people. How is that so?
Well, for a number of reasons. The biggest one is that the $700 billion in the TARP bailout was only a small portion of the bailout. Most of the bailout came in other programs that came out of the Federal Reserve that are lesser known. They have names like CAF and TALF. And there's also the basic issue of emergency Fed lending, where a lot of these companies simply went to the Federal Reserve and took out not just hundreds of billions of dollars, but trillions of dollars, essentially at 0% interest. And this is actually something that Bernie Sanders helped us find out when he and Ron Paul worked together to secure an audit of the Federal Reserve.
So are taxpayers, in essence, still footing the bill for this?
Absolutely they are. They're doing it in ways that are explicit and implicit. But the biggest way is that the government is essentially standing behind all of these too big to fail companies. There are messages that are constantly being sent to the markets that the government will stand behind all these companies and back them up if they happen to fail, but also won't prosecute them if they commit crimes or get into trouble. We saw this with a series of companies. HSBC was nailed for maybe the biggest money laundering scandal of all time, and the Justice Department openly said that they could not prosecute its executives because the company was too big and too systemically important. And then there were a number of banks that were involved in the LIBOR scandal, which involved manipulation of interest rates, and they also were not prosecuted for what might be the biggest antitrust criminal conspiracy of all time.
You also wrote recently, though, that there are some encouraging signs that momentum is building in Washington toward reforming the banks, and this is part of what you'll be discussing, I imagine, with Bernie Sanders at the forums in Burlington. But given the gridlock and the continuing partisan divide in Washington that we're seeing, why do you see positive signs that meaningful bank reform could be coming our way?
I think it's not even politics anymore. The politics will always be in favor of the banks because they are a huge source of campaign contributions for politicians on both sides of the aisle. But there's genuine panic and fear on the Hill among regulators and among members of the Senate and the House that these banks have gotten out of control. And there was that episode with Chase last year where they lost billions of dollars virtually overnight. That raised awareness on the Hill that these companies can't even control their own accounting, that they don't even know when they're losing money. And, I mean, the list is just getting bigger and bigger of people who are really, really worried about this.
Well, since 2008, has there been any kind of meaningful financial reform? We hear a lot about the Dodd-Frank bill. Has anything happened between the financial collapse and now that makes you think something is in place so that it won't happen again?
There have been a few things. There are restrictions on mortgage borrowing that didn't exist before. Not only do actual home borrowers have to put some money down, but people who are institutional investors in mortgages, they have to have some skin in the game when they're investing in these vehicles. But the biggest problems that existed before the crisis still exist.
Matt, I wonder how much of the sleight of hand, let's call it, that led to this meltdown could simply be fixed by reinstating the Glass-Steagall Act. As you know, that was born following the Great Depression. It survived all the way up until the Clinton administration when it was repealed. And that created essentially a separation between commercial banks and investment banks so that funny things couldn't be done with the money people put into a traditional commercial savings account. What if something like that were put back in place?
They did pass a law purported to do that, to separate those two, but that law has been punched so full of loopholes and exceptions since it got passed, and its implementation has been delayed. It was supposed to go into effect last year. It didn't. So by the time it does go into effect, it'll be basically meaningless. But you're right, if they went back to Glass-Steagall, that would solve a lot of the problems.
I want to ask about one more thing, certainly a subject that Senator Bernie Sanders here is very passionate about, his views on Social Security. Senator Sanders has repeatedly said that the program itself is in surplus and it's not in danger of going bankrupt in coming years, as many critics have said. Is Senator Sanders right about this, or do his critics have a point about Social Security?
My understanding of what happened to Social Security isn't that the fund itself is bankrupt. It's that a succession of presidents, beginning with Reagan and going on through Bush and Clinton and then Bush again, have essentially raided the Social Security kitty to pay for other programs. And then they've turned around and said that Social Security is bankrupt. It's not really what happened. If you take the contributions that came in and weigh that against the obligations going out, that's not the problem. The problem is that the money that was paid in payroll taxes is gone because it went to other programs. That's my understanding of the issue.
But looking into the future, though, I think critics are saying that for generations to come, that money will not be there for them. That it's a false promise to the young people of today.
Well, I don't think it's a false promise. I think we just have to uphold the promises. If we're going to take the money out, we got to take it out of somewhere else. It's a program that pays for itself. It has paid for itself. I think Senator Sanders is right about that. If we use that money to pay for the Iraq War, or if we used it to pay for budget cuts and tax cuts in the Reagan years, we have to go and find someplace else to take that money out of now.
Journalist Matt Taibbi will be appearing with Senator Bernie Sanders for two forums in Burlington, one at the University of Vermont at 3 o'clock and at the Unitarian Church at 7 o'clock. And thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you very much.